I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Monday afternoon, August 11th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us for the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. Ford announcing that big investment in an assembly plant in Kentucky. We'll cover that in depth in our next segment. But first, the busy week ahead on Wall Street includes data on inflation as traders eye trade and monetary policy. Joining us on the Village Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Tom Hudson, financial journalist based in Miami, Florida. Tom, thank you for joining us today. And this is a very big week if you're trying to make bets on the Fed cutting interest rates at their next meeting, because we had that weak jobs report come out a week and a half ago. And now we're taking a look at how tariffs are working through the economy and how that's impacting inflation. And the numbers we see this week could really complicate the Fed's math.
Indeed, it does, Rob. Great to be back with you. And the ballast here is this second part of the dual mandate of the Federal Reserve, right? We know that the Fed has to try to do two things when it's balancing out what it's doing with monetary policy. One is full employment, and we saw obviously weakness really quickly beginning in the latest jobs report, as you referenced. And the second part is steady prices, aka low inflation, probably around 2% or so. And the issue is, of course, that inflation has come down but remains stubbornly above that 2% mark that the Fed is much more comfortable with. So we've got the weak jobs, which signals lower interest rates, but we're likely to see tomorrow with the consumer price index that inflation it's like the in-laws that are not leaving and going home after summer vacation, summer visits.
Is it elevated, or, and we saw this the uptick in the previous CPI and PPI reports, is it just merely inflated, or is it a sign that it's taking off?
Yeah, I think it's right now less of a sign of taking off. We don't see much evidence of that it's re-accelerating, but rather that it is maintaining, but at a higher than comfortable level. So in other words, right, the Federal Reserve would like to go at, say, 65 miles an hour down the Eisenhower Expressway. We had been going 95 miles an hour, much too fast. Now we've slowed down to 75, still faster than where we should be. but yet steady and even keeled here, but still not as slow, not as tight as the Fed would like to see in order to be comfortable to lower interest rates.
Now, when it comes to the overall health of the economy, the consumer has been a stalwart going through the inflation going up, then interest rates going up. They've really powered the economy through some pretty rocky conditions over the last 3 years. But there are some signs that maybe the consumer is slowing down, and we could see that in retail sales on Friday.
We may see that in retail sales. You know, these retail sales, I think, they're not going to capture really back-to-school sales, really that maybe in this current month. We'll see a little bit of that dribble here. Certainly some summertime vacation spending here and there. That could be a case. But you're right. The American consumer has been incredibly resilient, and we've seen it reflected in really record high credit card balances. We've seen some cracks with auto loans, particularly subprime auto loans, and folks having a more and more growing difficult time being sure to pay those on time. So it is certainly a place to watch, absolutely.
And then very quickly, small business optimism. How does that fit into the overall economic equation?
Yeah, I think it's as much a comment about hiring and investment. Small business is a generation; it's an engine of job creation, and businesses need to be optimistic of their revenues over the next 6 to 12 months in order to add payroll responsibilities, aka add jobs.
Tom Hudson, financial journalist in Miami, Florida, thank you for joining us today. Coming up, an American car maker is spending a lot of money to make cheaper EVs.
Compounding your interest with an economy of words. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Ford is announcing a $2 billion investment in a U.S. assembly plant aimed at producing more affordable electric vehicles. Joining us with the details is Jeff Gilbert, CBS News automotive correspondent. Jeff, thank you for joining us today. And affordability is the name of the game for Ford. So what are they doing? What makes this plant in Kentucky, when it's up and running and retooled, what will make this unique compared to the existing EV plants they have?
Well, apparently Ford has just taken a look at everything when it involves EVs and tried to take out costs because they have been hemorrhaging money on electric vehicles. So it'll be a different style of manufacturing that will need fewer workers. It will also take less time. So that's one area. Another area is parts. They found a way to take a lot of parts out of the electric vehicles. And the third area is batteries. They're using a less expensive battery chemistry. Batteries will be made in Michigan. Now, these batteries are not likely to have the range of current batteries, probably more in the 250-mile range as opposed to 230, but they'll recharge faster.
And when it comes to the EV space in general, a lot of the tax credits are poised to roll off the books in a couple of months. And what is that going to mean for the EV marketplace as a whole? And at the same time, this seems like a pretty substantial bet by Ford that EVs are still the future.
Well, of course, Ford started working on this before those tax incentives went away, and when they didn't know, you know, whether they would have a pro-EV or an anti-EV administration. So this is a long-term kind of thing, and things can change in the future. But Ford feels that EVs are going to be a part of the market, but not necessarily the whole market. So EVs have to stand on their own now. People are not going to be buying them just because they're electric vehicles anymore. They're going to be buying them because they like them or they work for their lifestyle.
Yeah, it seems like all of the early adopters have adopted EVs, and now it's a matter of selling people who were maybe EV curious but have questions about range or the power infrastructure, getting them to buy EVs, and that could be a steep climb.
It can be a steep climb, and I think they realize EVs are no longer, you know, the idea is no longer that EVs are going to be for everybody. But there are certain people that they work for, people who don't need to take long trips, people who are doing commuting, people who are using them for lifestyle vehicles, keeping them nearby. Ford claims that this new pickup truck that they're going to put out, the first of several vehicles, is going to have a lot of power. It's going to have a lot of size. So they are hoping that it has a lot of things to sell people more than just being an electric pickup.
When it comes to the marketplace, what do consumers say about EVs? What's their biggest hang-up? Is it the cost? Is it range anxiety? Is it maybe this car is too technically complicated for a guy like me? What do people say?
Can I check all of the above from
sure.
the surveys I've seen? Cost is number one, so that's one thing Ford is working on. Range anxiety is a close number two. The reality is, yes, you can take a long trip with an EV, but it is nowhere near as easy as taking a long trip with a gasoline-powered vehicle. Now, there are smart people who are working on that. There are more chargers, but that's not going to change overnight. And in terms of technology, you know, car makers are now saying, we don't want our EVs to look like science experiments anymore. We want them to look like cars and trucks.
Jeff Gilbert, CBS News automotive correspondent based in Detroit. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, UFC is heading to Paramount Plus. We'll go inside the numbers.
It's 60 minutes of financial planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Paramount is securing the U.S. streaming rights to UFC starting next year in a $7.7 billion deal. We welcome in Kerry Flynn, media reporter for Axios in New York. Kerry, thank you for joining us today, and this represents an ultimate payday for Ultimate Fighting.
Great way to put it. And yes, it's a big number, $7.7 billion. That's over 7 years. And what's also fascinating about this deal is it marks the first big power move since Paramount's merger with Skydance. You may remember that that's been a months-long, drama-filled merger that just closed. So the fact that this is really their plant-the-flag moment. They're like, we're going to get UFC on our streaming service. All matches just exclusively on Paramount Plus.
And Paramount Plus, like all other streaming services not named Netflix, is having a very hard time getting 1% of the total streaming audience, much less a quarter or a majority share. So they hope this combined with the NFL will get a lot of guys to sign up.
Correct. And what's wild about it as well is the strategy is a big departure from how UFC fans typically experience the events. Typically, it was pay-per-view. You had to shell out for every game. And so what Paramount's doing here is they're making it free to any Paramount Plus subscriber. Obviously not free. You got to pay the monthly bill, but it really gets at what you're saying. They're hoping that UFC fans would no-brainer that they'll now automatically be signing up for that monthly subscription.
Now, this represents almost a doubling of the rights fees from what UFC is currently getting from ESPN. Their deal, which expires at the end of this year, was about $500 million a year, and the newly merged Paramount Skydance will pay $1 billion a year for the UFC in their new contract. And are there any questions or is there any analysis about the politics at play here? There was definitely some concerns that there was some political pressure that was being applied from the White House during this Paramount Skydance merger. And on top of that, UFC head Dana White is a very vocal Trump supporter. So is this another case of the newly merged Paramount Skydance telling the White House that we are on your side or sympathetic to it?
There's definitely some eyebrows being raised due to that timing and the connection, like you said, with Dana White, a longtime Trump ally. What we also heard is that the UFC was and their owner, TKO, was in talks with Netflix and Amazon before inking this deal. Really, when I was covering sports rights, I did this big deep dive on the fact that it's so complicated where to watch sports these days. And when I was talking with people, again, only a couple months ago, the money really was on Netflix or Amazon. So yes, the fact that Paramount is swooping in at this time is definitely creating more of that regulatory soap opera.
Kerry Flynn, media reporter for Axios in New York. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. Still ahead, the Bears say their sights are set on Arlington Heights, but there's a caveat.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. Markets are mixed. We welcome in J.J. Kinahan, former CEO at IG North America, president of Tasty Trade, to comment on today's market activity. J.J., thank you for joining us today. Now, the markets are mixed right now, and it seems like the calm before the storm, as it were, because there are a lot of reports coming out this week that have the potential to be market movers, starting with the two reads on inflation.
Yeah, CPI and PPI this week, as you're referring to, could really move the markets this week. As we head into a Fed meeting in September, I know we just got off one here a couple of weeks ago, but this one has more anticipation around it than most because we've seen the probabilities of a rate cut increase so significantly on the backs of the last employment report, et cetera. So it's kind of a strange day today, though, because as you said, we have the inflation numbers coming out, but it has a little bit, today has a little bit of what I would call a summer feel to it. You know, not a lot of volume, kind of going back and forth. You do see this often before big numbers. And you, I just think that for many people, it's a last hurrah vacation wise. So what that always means to me is that some of the moves can be a little bit overstated when they do happen because the, you know, quote unquote junior varsity might be at the trading desks while some folks get in their last vacations before school starts.
Now, when it comes to the Fed's dual mandate, I mean, obviously it's full employment and to keep inflation around 2%. And the full employment part of that mandate is in a little bit of jeopardy just based on that one jobs report from the month of July. How many jobs reports would the Fed need to see before they take action?
Well, I think that in general, the rule's been you need to see at least three to start calling something a trend. And, after one, I think we take a little bit of a breath. That said, do you say that there is a trend with the fact that we have had basically for over a year now a revision to the downside of almost every single jobs report? And so I think that that's really where a lot of the questioning is coming in right now is what is that true number? And as you talk about on the show all the time, what's the effect of AI on this job market? Because so many, we're seeing new college grads, having a longer lead time to get jobs. So again, there's a lot at play, some of which has never actually existed before in terms of what's going into these jobs reports.
And then when it comes to assessing inflation, we know that the elevated tariffs are driving up prices to some degree. A lot of companies are choosing to eat the higher tariff costs for now, but there are some price pressures that exist. So how does inflation from one specific cause, tariffs, differ from inflation as a result of just too much money entering the marketplace?
Well, it's significantly different. I guess I will call the one that's coming from tariffs much more controllable.
than something that's happening. The too much money, if you will, takes a lot longer time to work through the system, where the tariff one can come and go in a much faster way. And also, when you tend to see inflation from excess money in the system, that tends to affect all industries somewhat equally. Obviously, there's always going to be some disparity, but it affects the whole economy more than perhaps if you see from tariffs, which may be more specific to certain industries much more than others.
J.G. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America, president of Tasty Trade, you will be back on the Noon Business Hour in a little under 20 minutes. That's because you are today's stock picker as well. So it's a twofer for J.G. today. Coming up, we'll talk about the future of the Bears, possibly in the 847 area code. That's on the way.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The seemingly never-ending saga of the Bears' new stadium continues as President Kevin Warren urges Illinois lawmakers to approve a property tax deal for an Arlington Heights stadium, although its passage this fall remains unlikely. We welcome in Mark Gannis, president and co-founder, Sports Corp Limited in Chicago. Mark, thank you for joining us today, but at the very least, it seems like the Bears have finally picked a lane. And that lane is gets you to exit Route 53 at Euclid to get you to the former Arlington Park racetrack property, where if things go right for the Bears in Springfield, President Kevin Warren says they can break ground later this year.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Rob. That site is the only one that has made sense for a long, long time. And it's good that the Bears are publicly identifying that is their singular focus. That helps. That helps everybody. Meaning that once you know that that's the one site, everybody can just be focused on that. Now, as far as what's going on in Springfield, there are some realities here. It is unusual for a team to pay the entirety of building a new stadium, $3-4 billion. The Bears have said they will pay the entirety of it. That's a real plus for Chicago. The real plus for the Chicago area, for Cook County, for Illinois. What they're looking for is very reasonable. Now, reasonable in the context of politics is sometimes a very different analysis these days. And that's part of where the issue is. What the Bears are asking for is property tax certainty and some infrastructure, and they'll pay for everything else. That, in an ordinary course of business, doing business with a city or a state or a county, it would you know, people would be jumping up and down and say, my God, yes, we'll take that deal. How quickly can we sign? Politics is rather toxic these days, and there's still some of the Chicago delegation in Springfield who are really being very myopic, very parochial in their approach to this, and that's sad to see.
And this property tax legislation that is under consideration in Springfield, that could be taken up later this year, would freeze property taxes around the stadium and then allow the team to negotiate their property tax rate with Arlington Heights. And this is this legislation is not for the Bears. This is called a mega development deal that could really be for any large development. It could be a stadium. It could be anything else. And if this were to go through, how transformative could this be not only for the Bears, but for other teams that want to build a sports facility in the Chicago area?
Well, certainly it could be helpful for the White Sox staying in the area to build a new stadium for them. And it would be helpful for the Fire, who've already said that they'll put over $600 million into building their new stadium down at the at 78. But this should not be looked at. This legislation should not be looked at as a sports facility piece of legislation. The intent of this legislation is to cause there to be some new development in Illinois. We've had problems in our state. We're losing a lot of businesses. We're losing a lot of jobs. We're losing a lot of development here, and we're losing a lot of people. Now, whether this is the right approach or not to springboard development in the state, that's for minds greater than mine to determine. Would it be helpful for the Bears to go forward? Sure, of course it would be. Are there other ways for the Bears project to go forward? Of course there are. To get the property tax certainty and infrastructure money. But this vehicle seems to be one that has some interest that is for more than just one project. And maybe that's the better way to go about this. Maybe the state of Illinois, Springfield people need to think of this as something much bigger than just one project for the Bears, and think of it as what is good for the state of Illinois to help increase employment and help get more business to come to the state. And I believe that's the intent of this mega projects legislation.
Mark Gannis, president and co-founder, Sports Corp Limited in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today and lending your insight on this latest chapter of the Bears Stadium saga. Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday and still to come, our Monday Stock Picker.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Stock Picker Monday, and joining us with a pair of investment ideas is J.J. Kinahan, former CEO of IG North America, president of Tasty Trade in Chicago. Hi, J.J. Long time no talk.
It's been at least 10 minutes now, I believe.
but it feels like 15. J.J., thank you for joining us today on this Stock Picker Monday. You have two selections, and the first one will pick you up and take you where you want to go.
They certainly will, and they're doing a heck of a job of it, and that, of course, being Uber. And, you know, this is one that it's off its 52-week high by about 6-7%. And if you just think of the recent earnings they had, what they're talking about doing going forward, you know, the stock, of course, rallied significantly this year, as has much of the market. But if you just think about the, you know, they have some competitive strengths. They're very well known overall. They're not done growing. You know, I don't know if you knew this. If I was to quiz you, how many cities there? And they're in 15,000 cities now, which, you know, is, I think, a surprise to many people. And as they continue to look at ways to do things through automated cars, et cetera, so that cuts down some of their expense for drivers, this is one that does just seem to have a lot going for it, and management just continues to talk about continued expansion in the years ahead.
Yeah, my memory of Uber is about a dozen years ago in Washington, when it was simply in the nation's capital. And it was a way in which drivers of limousines and town cars could make a little extra money while they were waiting for their high-paying VIP customers. And look at it now. So that's a pretty amazing growth story. And then your next one is from the pharmaceutical space.
Yeah, you know, an old school stock, if you will, but one that I think has really, if you hopefully, learned its lessons, and that being Bristol-Myers. You know, you're talking about a stock that just in early March was trading about almost 30% higher than it is now. So it's been kind of a bad news story, but it seems like they've figured it out. And, if I look at their latest earnings, they've rallied since, painting a little bit more of a brighter picture, beating some numbers. And, you know, Bristol-Myers, what they are doing, I think that's impressive, is they're starting to bring in more partners to share in the development costs and, you know, diversify their risks on these clinical, clinical trials, et cetera. They just had approval of a schizophrenia drug that they think could, at peak sales, develop multi-billion dollars. And so this is a company that, as I said, has gone through some tough times, actually lower than where they were 52 weeks ago, which is a big buck against the market, but seems to have at least, you know, when we look at their last earnings, they're saying a lot of really positive things.
J.J. Kinahan, CEO, a former CEO of IG North America, president of Tasty Trade in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today on this Stock Picker Monday. His selections, Uber, U-B-E-R, and Bristol-Myers Squibb, B-M-Y.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.